Amen. The windows of heaven are open tonight. Clap your hands for Jesus. The windows of heaven are open. Can we make that confession? Your hand. Let's worship. Your hand. Everybody, hallelujah.
The windows of heaven are open. Blessings are falling tonight. Joy in my heart. For Jesus makes everything right.
I gave him my oath.
He gave me a robe of your wife. I'm feasting tonight. Hallelujah.
Say, hallelujah.
The windows of heaven are open. Blessings are falling tonight. The joy in my heart. What a tower to please.
Will be mentioned in heaven. Tonight, somebody's file will be opened in heaven. Hallelujah. You know, this night is dedicated to restoration. Anything anybody has collected from you, this night it shall be restored. Can we clap our hands again for our God? God bless you. Be seated. This is Restoration Night. And all around the world, we have our online members. Let's connect with them as we greet them. Let's connect with them. Can we wave our hands to all of them? Our online members all around the world. What do we say? Say it very loud. What do we say? Shalom, shalom, shalom to the bride of Christ everywhere. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Praise God. Let me just use a few moments to answer one or two questions, then we go into prayers. I don't know if this person is here. Ujunwa Igwe. Anybody like that? I don't know whether you are here or you are an online member. And please, those of you watching us online, when you connect, something happened on Tuesday. Prophet Godwin mentioned a case, and nobody came out. A sister who was bearing that name from Benin. She was there in Benin, and she knew that was her case. It was her name being mentioned. Please, there's always a telephone line. Call us immediately. Some people will go and start calling my own line. I'm not with my phone. I cannot answer call when I'm at the altar. I will not know when you call. There is a line right there on the screen. You will not confirm from that line. When I reach home, I will see text messages on my phone. So please, interact with us through the phone numbers, through Skype, through text messages. You call to confirm if your case is mentioned, or if you have any question, the number is permanently there on the screen throughout the period. The service period. Okay, so I don't know if Ujunwa Igwe is here or you are online. It's an email. I just came across it this evening as I'm preparing to come to church. And I thought I should use this opportunity and answer your question. You said, God bless you, sir. You said it's an email you sent. I just want to ask, like Moses in the Bible was vindicated by that sign of a burning bush, which no other person had. Also, our prophet William Mario Abraham was vindicated by that supernatural light that stood by him. What is yours? He said, what is yours? Because other churches have the prophetic gift more than us. And so many times, churches preach what we are preaching too. But what stands us out from them all? Thank you, Daddy, as I look forward to your reply. Shalom. Amen. First and foremost, listen very well. Moses was a dispensational prophet. And because he's a dispensational prophet, according to God's divine agenda, therefore, something also unique has to vindicate him. Praise God. Then, William Branham was also a dispensational prophet. Because of the uniqueness of the ministry, a special vindication has to also follow him. I am not a dispensational pastor. I am a pastor of a local church in Lagos. Which vindication do you want again for me? Am I introducing something new? I am not introducing anything new. So God does not need to specially vindicate me. I am not occupying any special office. There's nothing new I am doing. Therefore, I don't need any special vindication. Praise the Lord. But, of course, amen. Something is going on in the inter-message circle. Using this ministry, God is using this ministry and beautifying the message again. Yes. God is using this ministry to beautify the message. This entire message has been in Nigeria since the 70s. So the early 70s. William Branham died in 1965. And then the fire went around the world. It got to this part of the world in the 1970s. But some of you are just hearing it. Yet, it's been everywhere. But so many people have not been aware of it for very obvious reasons. So all of a sudden, even a ministry that just started, we started 17 years ago, with just four people gathering together around a table, and it has grown to what we are now. And things are happening. Amen. So maybe I use this opportunity to let us know what makes the Bride Assembly different from other inter-message churches. What is the unique thing about us that stands us out different? And I say this with all humility. And I say this to challenge the inter-message churches. Praise the Lord. Challenge them. There are some pastors that are here today from Benin, and Pastor David and his wife, enter message pastor from he has met enter message pastors within the message with very horrible experience. Very, very horrible experience. But God brought him out. Now, a lot of things that God is using this ministry to correct all over the world. This has suddenly become the most popular inter-message church. What is the attraction? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Allow me to say a few things then. If you have any other further question to ask along that line, we answer then, we go and possess our possession. Any witch will collect your glory today. He will either release it or he will die. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now listen carefully. I've said this over and over and over, but there are people that come hear us for the first time. All around the world, you were here on Sunday. I read the one from the brother from Kebbi. From Kebbi. And such testimonies, they encourage us to know that we are saying something that people are benefiting from. Oh, yes. There are more people around the world listening to us than the people sitting down here now. I am telling you, millions of people are listening to us all over the world. And people are getting revived. People are understanding the Bible. Amen. Listen very well. What stands us out? What makes the Bride Assembly unique, different from other churches? Take note that when you come to Christ in your Christian journey, I have said this before, I use my terminology, I use the word lines, two lines of revelation, because you must be balanced. He said, here a little, there a little. You must be balanced. What we try to do as much as possible in explaining everything that pertains to salvation is a balanced picture. Because we have people who run off and go extreme and they are not balanced. Everything we teach here, we try to balance it so that you can have a stand and a proper stand. Two lines of revelation. Two is very important. Two is for balancing. That is why God did not give you one leg. He gave you two legs. That's why God gave you two eyes, two nostrils, two ears, even inside, two kidneys, two hands, a hand. And when it comes to the Bible, he gave us Old and New Testament. Two. A woman does not have only one breast, two breasts. There's a purpose for it. Praise the Lord. So that you can be balanced. The same thing also. You know, when we come to the entire message, why I am particular about the entire message is, listen, church. Listen. As far as God's program for the rapture is concerned, I'm talking Revelation now, the rapture has started. The rapture has started. Because it's a process. The last stage of the rapture is the catching away. Nobody will just walk out like that and then you disappear. Nothing like that, oh. It's a process. You want to travel overseas. Maybe you want to go to London. Even local one, anywhere you want to travel to. Of course, let me use overseas. Where people love to travel to America, UK, Europe, wherever it is. Before you go, there are processes. Processes you undergo. Before you see the person enter plane, the plane, they take off. No, be that the way you go enter plane, you start that journey, plan for that journey. Hallelujah. He starts to gather his documents. Then he will go and submit it somewhere at the embassy. Then they may call him for interview. They may reject you and tell you, you don't qualify. You go try again. Those are the people that try by their effort to follow Christian, to follow Christ. After some time, they backslid. They try again. They will try again, put their documents together. And then until they jam one agent that says, no, let me teach you how to package it together. Oh, you poor people, now document they want. Then he will teach you and package the document. And then, you know, you pay him small. He will take it there. Praise the Lord. Then, You wait, oh, after they settle, you say, oh yeah, your visa don't come out, have you? That is the beginning of the journey. Then you buy your ticket. You buy your ticket, oh, then they will tell you, when you enter, even when you reach the airport, finish, the airport process starts again. They can still turn you back, oh, because the visa may be fake. There is fake salvation. Amen. There are some people that even took off when they reached London finish. The British border, what do you call them? The immigration there. We look and see, ask you some question. What do you say you want to do in London? How long are you staying? How much do you have? Can I see it? You don't have money. And you want to come in here. Back to sender. So it's not enough. So it is for salvation. You are going to heaven. Then your pastor say, just come and just say, I believe in Christ. Blah, blah, blah. And then they say, you see, you are saved. Then you are, what are you waiting for? One of these days, bam, I will disappear and go. It's not like that, though. There's a process. Praise the Lord. To start with, if you don't have visa, you can't travel to that country. There is visa to heaven. There is visa, and there is a fake visa. At the point of entry, they will turn you back. Amen. That's why I preach the message I titled Salvation by Assumption. Don't assume. Make your calling and election sure. So now listen. As far as God's program for salvation is concerned, the agenda where we are now in the shout. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The Lord himself shall descend with a shout. That is a process. Three processes. The voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. That is the process. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is for those who believe that they have heard the shout is the message. And what is the message? It's the message of restoration. Now, so if you are still in the denomination, you've gone, you know, we have gone past that level. I'm talking to those who believe that they are now saved because they believe a message. Listen very carefully. The message also must, now that we have had the shout and come out, it must have two legs. It must go with, there must be the message and there must be the power side of that message. That is what makes us different from other inter-message churches. There must be power. If you have the message, which is the word, amen, then there must be power. If not, the people will not believe you. And so Moses, the same thing in Exodus chapter 4, when God sent him, he said, they will not believe. This thing for us to tell women in this age, don't paint your face, don't wear those jewelries, don't wear your ring, young girl, don't wear trousers, don't put that nonsense on your head, don't wear those body hugs. In this age, where it doesn't matter, gospel has taken over. Then you are coming to talk your own different from it, doesn't matter. They will listen to you. They will not listen, oh. Moses told God, they will not believe me, oh. What will you use for them to believe? Then God gave him the sign. The sign is to make the people believe Moses. Hallelujah. Then Moses was taken away. Amen. Who wants to continue? Joshua. Let's open Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, there's a statement there in that verse 5. When God was going to give Joshua, the continuity ministry. Joshua had a continuity ministry. He told him, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life." See where I am going? As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Joshua chapter 3, verse 7. Chapter 3, verse 7. Amen. Let's read it, but let's take some long reading there. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, he said, "This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know, oh glory be to God, that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee, and thou shalt command the priest. Now remember, at this point, when he called Moses, the first place God took them so that he will use opportunity to demonstrate who he is and who Moses is, he took them through the Red Sea. There are other places they would have followed, though. Anyway, that's another sermon. Anyway, there was an obstacle, the Red Sea. And you know the story and how the sea parted. And everybody knew God was with Moses. The same thing now, Joshua taking over. There was a river Jordan. Amen. Now if you read down there, the same way it happened with Moses. Read it up to verse 17. The same way, because God is saying he was going, hallelujah, he was going to magnify Moses, Joshua, in the sight of Israel, so that they will know that as he was with Moses, so he will also be with Joshua. Take note of what I am saying, because so many people, intellectuals, have invaded the gospel with big, fine grammar. Amen. And nothing else to show that there is a call of God upon them than their sweet grammar. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It happened also in the ministry of Elijah. Elijah was to cross the same Jordan. Hallelujah. Just before the Lord took him away. He took his mantle, struck the river, it parted, and they went through. Him and Elisha. After they passed, God took him away. But he dropped that same mantle. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. See, Christianity is practical. Very, very practical. If you don't catch the practical thing, you will never experience God. Hallelujah. We don't know God by a teaching with a chalk and blackboard. Eh? Where is God? You dey see him? Eh? I want to see him too. That's all. Amen. Faith is not explained by writing a book. Faith is not explained by writing a book. Healing does not come by writing any book. Hey. It is practical. things of God you cannot explain. That's why we are called to believe. Just believe and you will see. Praise the Lord. And that is why it is not for academicians. Because if you reduce it to writing a book, those who didn't go to school, your ministry will not benefit them. Those who don't hear big grammar, they cannot receive healing, cannot receive deliverance. God is simpler. He has decided to make himself simple. Simple. Hallelujah. He is so big. Our God is so big. Listen. Amen. I was telling my wife that recently, the past two weeks, God has been dealing with me. And the Lord spoke to me without controversy that Jesus Christ, that man that we are hanging on the cross on Calvary, 100% was God. When we try to explain his humanity, hallelujah, there is a way we explain his humanity and we confuse the people. I have done that to myself. I said, but God began to let me know that man that was hanging there, that man, the interesting thing about our God, hallelujah, is that, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God himself. Imagine the universe. Imagine the universe and look at the God, the force, the spirit that is in control of the whole universe. If he's going to stand with you and talk with you, how will he appear? For you to listen to him. For you to relate with him. Trying to relate with the human beings, he came down in the form of a human being. So that he can relate with human beings. And people don't know that God can descend and be so simple. The great God became so simple. He came like a baby in a manger. He grew like a human being. And people did not know what he was doing to relate with us. Jesus is Emmanuel. He was God with us. Apostle Paul said, and without argument, without controversy, great is the mystery of God. God was manifested in the flesh. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So when it comes to God, it's simple. Very, very simple. He's not an academician. You can never know him in a Bible school. In a school of theology. Hallelujah. Amen. He has reduced himself and made it possible for every human being to contact him. Whether you go to school or you don't go to school. And the Africans will like to copy Americans. As if God is an American. Some of them even want to preach and talk like America. An African man will be talking like... be talking for nose. Talk through his nose. And to them, that is evidence that they are civilized. And they don't know that is a colonial mentality. It's colonial mentality. The destruction of your identity. Nothing more than that. It's illiteracy. It's illiteracy. That you kill your identity and then take up another person's identity. Or you both identity. Then you'll be talking and twisting your tongue to look like and to think as if you, that means you are civilized. And somebody say, Pastor Moses, you know you are now international. So I want to teach you English so that you can polish your English and talk very well. It's because you say you want to teach me something. Do you know the meaning of that word, international? International is an English word. If you know the meaning, you will not have said, now I have gone international, you want to teach me English. You don't know international. International, it means every nation involved. That is the meaning. International, a platform where every nation meets. That is the meaning of international. So it's not the killing of other nationality, other national identity. It is a platform where all nations come and show who you are. That is the meaning of international. So it means to be international is to allow the Americans see the African side of Christianity. Not for me to drop my African side and begin to talk like American, that I can become international. Nothing like that. It's colonial mentality. Praise the Lord. If somebody catch what I'm saying now, you will never feel inferior. You will never feel inferior before God. See, how many people are children of God here? No, put down your hand first. Listen very well before you put up your hand. Who is a child of God? You are sure God the Creator is your Father. Let me see your hand up. Do you know what you are doing by putting up your hand? Praise God. Hallelujah. They imagine that the son of Obama, I think it's the strongest, they claim to be the strongest nation in the world. Then the son of the strongest leader in the world, then we sit down and feel inferior. Then they will be buffeting him up and down on the road. The son of the president of America, anywhere he's going, there's security around him. He doesn't move about anyhow. The son of a king is a prince. In fact, now the princes, they have more power than the king himself. They are untouchable. And we are princes of God. Can I see them today? Can I see them? Amen. Then one witch will come and tell you, I will deal with you. Deal with a child of God? You look at it. Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? Praise God. Hallelujah. I know who I am. How many people can say that? Eh? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Let me tell you something. The highest office, and therefore the highest title on earth, is to be called a son of God, a daughter of God. Am I correct? That is the highest office, to be called a son of God or a daughter of God. That title, son of God, is higher than archbishop. He's higher than Pope. Reverend. Right reverend. Wrong reverend. Reverend doctor. Senior evangelist. Senior pastor. Senior this. They are titles of servants of my Father. And the servant of my Father is my servant also. Oh, am I correct? Eh? Therefore, you cannot come and say, you are talking to a servant of God like that. You can't tell me that. I'm more revelated than that. Know who you are. Then one man will come and curse you. Then stand for pulpit, say it's your servant, a servant of God. And then curse a son of God. And then you'll be afraid. Hey, this man, hey. And it is what you fear that will come upon you. Oh yes, because you are afraid now. So the thing where you talk will follow you to come to pass. But when you stand and you tell that man, I return all the cost to you. He will look you like this. Tell him, you are a servant of God, I am a son of God. If your position is higher than my own, then your cost will work. And to start with, do you know you cannot curse whom God has blessed? Hallelujah.